Did you miss the golden age of the bent-over grandma? The plywood grandmas have dwindled now, but they're still to be found around these parts, their paint flaking, their plywood delaminating in the sun and rain, grandma's exposed polka dot bloomers leached of color. When they first appeared on the scene, the plywood grandmas were culturally divisive. Some social critics declared them trashy and demeaning. Others found them a real knee slapper. Whatever the take, they proliferated, and soon some joker designed a companion piece, a rear view of a grandpa in overalls, a red handkerchief out his back pocket, and his hand planted firmly on grandma's ample rear. In New Auburn, as in any place, lawn art is a form of public display as simultaneously trite and revealing as bumper stickers and nose rings. Between the porch and the road, iconography sprouts. The bathtub Madonna, the milk cow windmill, giant mushrooms carved from stumps, yellow Norwegian crossing traffic signs. These images speak to who we are. Let me be the first to say, grandma bending over is no nude descending a staircase. I could do without whirling plastic sunflowers, but more than that, I want to be in a place I understand. Fake deer and packer ornaments, goofy mailboxes, they tell me I am in a place where, for better or worse, I know the code.
Ed, to the best of our knowledge, we're pretty proud of being from Wisconsin. Maybe as proud as Wisconsin writer Michael Perry, who's made it his vocation to write with humor about his life in a little Wisconsin town called New Auburn. His memoirs, Population 485 and Truck, A Love Story, hit the bestseller lists, and he keeps up a magazine career writing for the likes of Esquire, the New York Times Magazine, and Salon.com. It's an enviable career by almost any standard. Perry came into the studio to talk about what it takes to make it as a writer from Wisconsin.
I've always had an ambivalence about the term writer with a capital W or about the term artist. I've never really made any bones about the fact that I'm first and foremost self-employed, and I associate regularly with artists of certainly much purer talent and intent. And so I didn't really ever have a plan, but it is interesting. I was living in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, when I really started to write. I went to the library and checked out a book on how to be a writer. It was that basic. And I spent time writing brochures and ads and frozen pizza ads and radio copy and did things for used car dealers. But I was also going to poetry readings and studying writing and hanging out in bars with writers, even though I didn't drink or smoke. And I wound up eventually, I was getting a few pieces published here and there, and I was just surviving. And I moved back to my hometown of New Auburn, Wisconsin. And the feedback I got from a lot of people was not negative, but cautionary. They said, well, why are you moving there? There's nothing there. If you want to be a writer, you need to go to the East Coast or the West Coast. And of course, for me, it turned out that everything was there, because the first book that I wrote that got any sort of pleasant attention was Population 485, which was about growing up and going back to my hometown of New Auburn.
Population 485 was really a hit, and people know Wisconsin for the Packers. These days, everybody knows Bon Iver as well and have heard about that hit album came out of a little shack north of Eau Claire. But Population 485 in some ways sort of started things off. Is it that people don't know what to think of flyover country?
Yeah, I think it's partly they don't know what to think. I remember one thing I ran into early on. I had a section in Population 45 about dirt track stock car racing, because I love going to the dirt track stock car races a couple of times a year. And I just grew up with that, and some of my buddies race. And someone in New York read that and said, well, I don't think that should be in there. You know, I don't think stock car racing is really a Wisconsin or Midwestern thing, is it? That's a Southern thing. Well, of course not. I mean, just very recently, the Daytona 500 was won by Matt Kenseth, the guy out of Wisconsin, and the legendary Dave Marcus was a great NASCAR racer out of Wausau, and Alan Kulwicki and Paul Menard out of Eau Claire, and even Danica Patrick did her early racing in Beloit, although she was raised in Illinois. And my personal favorite, partly because his hometown is Wisconsin Rapids, where I was born, but the legendary NASCAR racer Dick Trickle is a Wisconsin guy. And so I think sometimes people are surprised about those parts of Wisconsin. On the other hand, you turn right around and you embrace things. Like, I've had people tell me they think that the term cheesehead is demeaning or offensive. And I just go, you know what? If that's the worst thing someone could call you, man, you are coasting. And furthermore, I always say that, you know, I do this as a joke, but I say, you know, we try to remake our image, and we are Wisconsin, and we are about many more things than cheeseheads. We're about art, and we're about culture, and all these things. And then, of course, what happens every once in a while, the Packers go to the Super Bowl, and the whole world tunes in, and half the people there are wearing blaze orange snowsuits and cheeseheads, and we got to start all over again. So I say, just go with it.
What people don't understand is those are nice and warm.
Absolutely, and they can save your life in a plane crash, too. So.
That's right. What did your agent think? I guess the first question is, was it hard to get an agent when you live in New Auburn, Wisconsin?
Yeah, I can tell you exactly how I got an agent. I just wrote for 10 years, self-published 4 books, wrote for every magazine and person that came along, clawed my way into places like the New York Times Magazine and GQ and Esquire, all without an agent. And then one day, somebody in New York read one of my essays, found out a little bit about me, and went to this agent and said, hey, there's this unusual long-haired writer living in northern Wisconsin. You should read more of his stuff. And sadly, the long hair is gone, but the agent is still here. And so I got a phone call in New Auburn, Wisconsin, out of the blue. That's how it happened. I never tracked her down. She tracked me down. And she did say, what are you doing up there in Wisconsin? She was calling from New York. You know, geography is what it is to them. But she said, what are you doing up there in Wisconsin? And do you have any more of it? And so I sent her a whole pile of stuff, and here we are.
Have you trained her to speak more lovingly of northern Wisconsin over the years?
I think she says nice things about Wisconsin, but you've hit on something. I did have a publicist one time, and they always want to do things to make you feel at home. And so I did a big book event out in L.A. at Book Expo, and they said, we're going to do what we can to make you feel at home. And when I got there, they had set out a big tray in the middle of this huge function in Los Angeles, a tray filled with Budweiser and cheese curds. And, of course, the irony is that I don't drink. And then the other thing was I did have to, my publicist, I said, you know, that was very sweet, but let me educate you about it. The cheese curd has to squeak or it's not legit. And I thought that was something I just said in passing and in good humor. And a few months later, he was interviewed by some trade magazine, and they were asking him about things he'd learned as a publicist. And lo and behold, he said, well, I have learned from author Michael Perry that the sign of a quality cheese curd is the squeak. And so I thought, you know, I'm doing what I can for us. I'm spreading the gospel.
You know, what's interesting to me in part about that is that, you know, most of the writers in this country, we have the impression anyway that most of the writers in the country live in New York and maybe in Brooklyn for that matter, and that what's really important is connections. But it makes me wonder when you tell a story like that whether when you live in the Midwest you can make any of those connections.
Well, here's my answer, and it's a two-parter. The first part is that everything I'm about to say doesn't reflect the fact that everything is changing hourly now. I mean, publishing is in a state of, it's not so much in a state of free fall as it is chaos, and it's a creative chaos, and it is what it is. But my experience, and now I'm going to lay some numbers on you that I've made up, so let me just tell you that right up front. But my experience is from spending time in New York, from spending time in the publishing world, books and magazines, is that the truth is somewhere around 70 to 80% of those folks went to one of 5 East Coast schools. They do all know each other. They go to the same publishing parties. People know each other. But the good news for the rest of us is there is this window of, I don't know, let's say 30 to 20% for just knuckleheaded persistence and some talent. And you do have a shot if you just keep plugging away.
It's not fair to ask you because the times have changed since 1995. Do you have advice for young writers who are in the same situation you are? They don't want to go to New York, or they can't afford to go to New York. They don't want to go to L.A. And anyway, they're really happy where they are, but they'd like to establish a career as a writer. What do you tell them?
Well, there's never been a better time. You can make your voice heard in ways that never, never were possible back when I started. But the one thing has not changed. You just have to sit down and write. I get a lot of, you know, I get 6 or 8 manuscripts a week folks send to me, and they ask me very politely to read them and give, and I just can't get it all done. But what you can do is just sit down and write. And then I just, man, I set up my own readings. I self-published my first book, and this was before print on demand. So I had to get 1,000 of them printed in order to hit a price break. And then I had great incentive to sell them because I had 1,000 books in my garage. And I mean, I did readings at craft fairs, and I did readings just in malls. I did whatever it took. And that's all true. You still need to do that, and you still need to create the work. You have ways to get it out there now that you never did before. And the idea of having to go to L.A. and New York is rapidly becoming outmoded.
The flip side, of course, is that, as you said, most of the writers are still in New York and L.A., or at least on the East Coast and the West Coast. Do you think there's any danger in that? Are there artistic costs to having all those people in one place seeing each other? And I guess what I'm saying is maybe not so much the rest of us.
Well, sure, because there develops a certain tunnel vision. Let me be clear. The people in New York, specifically in my case, I've dealt with a few people out of LA, but mostly the people, they've changed my life. I'm ever grateful to the editors and the agents that I've worked with out there. They've allowed me to live a life in my, you know, my home state that I never could have dreamed of. So everything I say is said with love. But I do get a kick sometimes out of, they look at us sometimes I don't know what to say. It's not condescension, but it's a sort of benevolent understanding that we are provincial and we do have a narrow little view of things. And then they'll turn right around and do something like trying to, when I'm living in New Auburn, they would always book my flights for book tour out of Milwaukee. And I would always have to call and explain that Milwaukee is 5 hours from New Auburn and that Minneapolis-St. Paul is an hour and a half away with airplanes that go all over the world. And twice I had publicists say, oh, but New Auburn is in Wisconsin. And I'd say, yes. And we are allowed to cross the Minnesota border freely. And so that kind of stuff happens where they're not being, you know, there's nothing negative in that, but they're as oblivious to our way of life as we are to some of theirs. And so, of course, you can get tunnel vision no matter where you are. But I'm always careful about that, too, because you don't want to get disingenuous. I mean, I criticize myself sometimes for veering too easily toward that whole kick your toe in the dirt and say, oh, I don't know nothing about nothing. Well, of course, you know, I have read a couple of books, and I do like to go to the feed mill, but I also like to read a little Montaigne now and then. And so we all have our blind spots, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Michael Perry is a humorist and memoirist from New Auburn, Wisconsin. Perry's best-selling books include Population 485 and Truck, A Love Story.